Amen. I let her borrow my own. Amen. One of the things that she's pointing out about the reading, when you sit your children down and you read to them, it helps them to learn to sit still. And tell them, if you're not going to sit still, I'm going to stop reading. Kids want you to read to them. They want to spend that time with you. So it teaches them. And then when they come to church, they can learn to sit and be quiet. You see, it's something how that some people have a hard time with a pastor asking to teach your children to be quiet and sit still in church, but yet they go to school and they're expected to do it there, or you'll get a note from the school, you need to put your children on some medicine. And if they don't learn to sit still, they're not going to do very good in their job in their office space. We are to train the children. What are you training your children for? For life. Amen? So we need to train them. See, as parents, you have a huge influence on your children's life, whether you believe so or not. And you have that at least 18 years with them. You may have more. Some of you here may have your children. They may be older living in your home. But you have at least 18 years. And as much as we would like them to do as I say and not as I do, it isn't going to happen. We must be an example. You see, they're going to do the things you do. Research shows that kids tend to imitate their parents' behavior and continue to do through their adulthood. So without really even trying, folks, every day you are setting an example for your children to follow. By watching you, they learn responsibility. By watching you, they learn honesty. They learn diligence. They learn walking in love. They learn good physical habits. They learn healthy attitudes. They learn right behaviors. And they learn how to follow God. Amen? Folks, God wouldn't tell us to be that example. He didn't understand the importance of it. He is our example. It's important that you use this influence, your influence, to help guide your children on a path toward godly life. They need you to guide them and to set the right examples. And here are, I want to talk about five things that will, real quickly here, I'm going to try to get through this. I had this for my wife to do the teach, but she said, I don't think I'm going to be very long, so I went and got a little extra. Okay? But she did pretty good, didn't she? Deuteronomy 6. 1 through 13, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all his statutes and his commands, which I command thee. God's given us commands here, and he's telling us this, that thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life and the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Is there any wiggle room there, folks, when he says all? And these words which I command thee, there's no suggestion there, is it? Which I command thee shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them occasionally, diligently, unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way. Listen, in thy house, he says, teach them in your house, not just at church. Teach them in your house. And when thou walkest thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them on the sign before by thy hand, and thou shalt on as frontlets between thine eyes. I looked that up. You know, folks, they would wrap leather straps around their arm, down through around their fingers, and the frontlets would be up here. The box would be a leather box with the word of God in it. I'm like, why do they do that? And I looked up some of the things, and you know what? It's when we, your children, will watch what you do. They watch what you do with your hands. Sometimes we do things that aren't good. They watch what you're watching, what's coming forth out of you. Put it on the doorpost, the scriptures. And thou shalt be with the Lord thy God. And thou shalt bind them on the sign upon thy hand, upon thy foreheads between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. God is meaning business here. Teach your children diligently. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and give thee great and godly cities. I like this. See, God's telling us, look, if you'll do these things, if you'll keep my commandments, I'm going to bless you. Now, we want our children to do good in life, don't we? We want them to go to college. We want them to get good jobs. We want them to have nice homes. In a lot of cases, we want them to do better than us. How about better Christians than us? Is that okay? Listen, it's important for college and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I want my kids to be better Christians than anybody in the work world and all that kind of stuff. Here it is. And Jacob gave thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and the houses are full of good things, which thou fillest not, and the wells digged, which thou diggest not, and the vineyards and the olive trees that thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then be aware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Aren't you glad God brought you out of the world today? Amen. That land of bondage, come on. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. God says, look, you live for me, you follow my commands, I'll bless you. But teach them to your children too. Let me bless them. So that's telling me, look, if I do this, if I live this before them and I serve God with all my heart and I teach them to serve the God that I love, amen, and see that he is important, then God will bless my children too. You see, in times of trouble, folks, keep believing. Now, I hate to tell you this, but troubled times will come to your kids and your family. And the trials of life, they come to everybody. But one of the greatest life lessons you can teach your children is what we do, folks, when trouble comes. Come on, do we get all frantic and start wringing our hands? No, you know what? God, Lord, you've told me you give me promises in life, Lord, and I'll live for you. You'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about this problem. See, because we have victory in Jesus Christ. Even if there's a trouble right now, God knows how to work all things out together for the good. Amen? Amen? And his word is our guide. So show your kids when trouble comes in your life, go to the word of God, get on your knees, pray, keep believing in God. Amen. Say, kids, we're going to get through this. You know why? Because God is a faithful God. He is faithful. You know what else we need to do? We need to go to church. Don't just miss for any reason. I'm telling you, folks, you've heard me tell you this before. My father, I don't care what was going on in church. If it was a cleaning day, it was a working day, we went to church. Go to church. Studies show that children who go to church on a regular basis turn out better, no matter what kind of church it is. Going to church doesn't save you. It helps you. But I have known people that claim to be Christians who don't go to church and their lives don't go very well. Even though they claim to be Christians. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more. In other words, faithfully, as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Amen? Show your children how important church is. How about this? Let's try to be on time. Come on. You know, our services aren't usually long. So if you miss 15, 20 minutes of, you miss half church, what do you teach your children? Church ain't important. We'll get there when we get there. blows my mind, though. How do they get trouble if they're late at school? Do you get trouble if you're late at work? But yet the Church of God doesn't mean nothing. Being on time. How about trying to be early? Let's teach them to be early. You know what? We always were at church early, and we had to go and set things up. So when my kids got cars, they beat me to church every time. I couldn't get there quick enough. Why? I taught them it was important. What are you teaching your children when you're late at church all the time? Come on. Don't get quiet on me. I could park right here. How about teaching them to give tithes and offering? You teach your children that giving to God is important? And not only tithes and offering, but your time. Do you do things around the house of God? Show them, hey, let's go to church and let's help out at the church. Because church is important. Do you teach them that? See, this not only blesses your family and guarantees the windows of heaven open to you when you give to God, because we know the scripture tells us that. It not only helps you, but folks, it is a vital example to set for your children. If they grow up thinking that tithing is normal, it will never be hard for them. If they grow up learning that offerings are important, it'll never be hard for them. Amen. You're being quiet on me. So we need to teach them. In Malachi 3, 8 through 11, will a man rob God? You want to rob God if you don't give to him? Have ye robbed me? But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. This is rough right here. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Isn't this what you want as parents? You're going to college. You're going to do good. You're going to do this. You're going to do well in school. If you don't do good grades, but yet we don't teach them the things of God. When God says, I'll take care of them, we don't believe him. If you don't give to God, you don't trust God. Then why ask God to heal you? Why ask God to bless you with a different job? If you don't give to him, you're showing him, I don't trust you. You got needs in your life? But you, hey, pray for this. God's like, why don't you give? As I said, I'll bless you. It's showing faith. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer. Why? For your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. So in other words, if I don't give, God's going to destroy the fruits of my ground, the fruits of my work. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. This is not me, folks. This is the Lord speaking to you here. Come on. Give. Teach your children to give. I'm part. You know what? I was talking to Courtney. She told me the other day. She said, we give when we was down here, my wife always gives them offering. She goes, we want to give them offering. We want to be the ones to teach them to do that. I'm glad for that. I want that. I'm telling you, folks, I come to church and worship the Lord not only because I love God and it's what God expects me to do, but I want my children to see it. I want my grandchildren to see it, and I want your kids to see it. I love it when the children love the pastor. I want that. I intentionally do everything I can. I love it when I hear saints of God tell me, hey, pastor, did you hear him preaching with you? This little girl right here, I love it when I come up to her and she gets this big old smile all over her face. See, I like it when everybody else tries to get her smile, and they won't. When I come up, she'll smile. I like that. Because I want to be an example. I want to be an example. You know what else we have to do, folks? We have to be quick to hear. We have to be slow to speak. We have to be slow to anger. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It is this great advice, folks, isn't it? That is great advice. Praise the Lord. If we acted this way every day without fail, in our homes, in our cars, on the job, at church, and our relationships would flourish. You want to see your job get better? Put this into action. Love people there.
Well, it's work.
So what? They need God. That's why you're there. That's part of your mission field. What a great example for our children to see. Another thing is, don't quit. Never quit. Perseverance is a vital quality for success in life. You've heard me say this before. If my kids signed up for a ball team, I don't care how bad they weren't quitting. You signed up, guess what? You're going to play. Oh, you're on the Bible quizzing team? You're going to do it. And you're going to like it. You see who's the soft one in the house, don't you? Thank God for her. Helped me to soften up a little bit. But I'm telling you, she was behind me though, folks. If they signed up for something, you don't quit. And you know what? We signed up to live for Jesus Christ, and we're not quitting. Come on. We're not quitting. Yeah, it gets rough. So is everything else in life get rough. This world, you ask people, they'll tell you it's rough. It's ugly. It's part of life. But you never quit. Perseverance. Even when things are hard, keep going. Amen? Be determined to persevere no matter what. Set your face like a flint. I'm like, what does that flint mean? Set your face like a flint. Isaiah 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. So I looked it up. It says, or like steel. I'm determined. Come on. Or as an adamant stone, or some, as some render it, hardened against all opposition, resolute and undaunted, constant and unmoved by the words and blows of men, not to be browbeaten or put out of countenance, but anything that they can say or do. He was not dismayed at his enemies who came to apprehend him, though they came to him as a thief with words and staves, nor in the height of priest's palace, nor in Pilate's hall, in both which places he was roughly used, nor at Satan, his principalities and powers, nor at death itself with all its terrors. When they came to the Lord in the garden, he set his face like flint. I'm not giving up. My flesh doesn't want this. There's a lot of things, folks, we don't want to have to go through in life. But you got to be determined. I'm making it. I'm resolute. I'm not giving up. And I'm not gonna let my kids see. Come on. You see, I wanted to teach them to love God and to serve God with all their hearts. That if, you know, and there may be a time, folks, I believe it may be coming ahead, I don't know, but there may be a time they'll come into your house and tell you to denounce your God. Or we're going to hurt one of your children. Or we're going to hurt your wife. You know what I wanted them to know? I wanted my children to live for God, to serve God, to be resolute, to set their face as a flint, and to say, Daddy, don't you dare. Well, I don't want them to hurt you, son. Dad, don't you dare denounce God. Come on. You say these things don't happen. Brother Tekla Marion, ask him. They walked into his house, grabbed his little baby, held it out the window and said, denounce your God. He said, I can't do it. Denounce your God. I can't do it. And they dropped the baby to its death. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to be resolute. We need to say, I'm living for God. I'm not changing. I'm not backing down. Even if everyone around you is dropping like flies, be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Jesus has already bought and paid for your victory. You only lose it if you quit. What a great example you can be for your children. Amen? What a great example you can be for your children. Folks, let me tell you something. I wanted my children to live for God. Most important thing to me is that they live for God. Not a college career, which are good. I'm not against any of that stuff. Not the highest office in an office building and all that kind of stuff. That's important. That's great. And if they get there, that's great. That's awesome. But I want them to live for God. Because you know what? It's not anything I can do. And they've already exceeded their father. That's fine with me. That's what I want. But I want them for God. They've made more money than I've ever dreamed of making. They got great jobs. That's okay. But they're living for God. They're serving God. Hallelujah. And that's the joy of my life. Amen. It's to know that they love my God. Amen. And he is their God. Amen. And they love their pastor. They love him. They weren't going to hear a bad word about their pastor from me or my wife. We taught them to love God. We taught them to love their pastor. They still love him today. See, God sees children as important. And if God sees them as important, then so should we. And so do these parents. Rob tells me that he's going to get me on a routine, on a circuit to go around and teach child dedications. So I told him, I says, listen, Rob, Sister Roberts is going to teach this. Now, I don't know if she's going to do the things like I do all the time. He's like, oh. But she threw a little zinger in there for him. You see, he liked it one time when I said, children are evil. And all the kids went home and said, Mommy, Daddy, Pastor said, kids are evil. Well, if you don't teach them to be good, they will be. Come on. See, we live in that day and age, folks, where people take their dogs to training school and train them and teach them how to do all these things and then tie them up in the backyard, put them in a fence, but let their kids run the streets, don't know what they're doing. Amen? So if those kids are running the street, who's in control of those kids? That's why we have a lot of fools getting and breaking into homes and destroying property and all these kind of things, because there's no parent out there telling them, don't you dare. Psalms 127, verse 3 says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Some gifts have some strings attached. Some do not. In this case, God's gifts to you do have strings. And since God has given you the precious gift of a child, he has also given you an awesome responsibility. God has given you the responsibility to train up your children in the ways of God, to be an example of Christian living both inside and outside of the home. To provide for, to protect, and to nurture your children. Folks, Rob, Alexandra, make her part of your family. Sharing with her your love, your time, and your life. Teach her to love the same Jesus that you love. And serve and obey and honor Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You see, you are not alone in this responsibility. God, your Heavenly Father, is always with you to provide you with the strength, the encouragement, and love and wisdom that you need. You have a family here at Church of Pentecost that will be here for you to help you. And all you have to do is go to Him. That's the beautiful thing. And He will provide all that you need. And we're not dedicating the children as much as we are dedicating these parents. And by having this dedication, you as parents are publicly saying that you want to raise your children in Christ-honoring home. And you are asking God's blessings on your ministry as Christian parents. So I ask you these questions today. And in answering these questions, you're making a promise to God. You're not making it to your pastor. You're not making it to your children, but you are making this promise to God. If you are willing to commit your children to God and to dedicate yourself to raising her in God, and raising her in God's strength and in His honor and glory, then we want you to reply by answering an I do to these following questions. Do you recognize your children as a gift from God and give God thanks for blessing you, your life, with His gift? Do you then dedicate your children to the Lord who gave you your children? Do you pledge as Christian parents that you will bring up your children in the Christian home, looking to God for wisdom, strength, and guidance? Do you promise to give your children every possible benefit of home, school, and church? Do you promise to pray for your children on a regular basis, realizing that it is only with God's hand upon their life that they can truly be blessed? Do you ask God's blessings upon your life of your children to guide, guard, and direct her thoughts through all the years? If your heart, folks, are in these promises, then you have dedicated yourself to raising your children in a way that God can use mightily in His kingdom. And I have a letter that I'm going to give you on behalf of your children. And someday you can open it up and read it to Isabella. And I'll read that letter. Dear Isabel Elise Fletcher, on this date, 2/17/19, your parents come before me in the presence of your church family here at Church of Pentecost to dedicate themselves to you, to the Lord, whom they worship and serve. They recognize you as a gift from God and give thanks to Him for bringing you into their lives. They promised to train you in the things of God, looking to Him for divine guidance, wisdom, and strength. They ask God to someday fill you with the Holy Spirit and make you a blessing to others as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with His heart, His power. As your church family, we have promised to encourage your parents as they grow in the Lord and to always be there for you when you need help in living the Christian life that God has planned for you. And although you will not remember this day, I pray that we will always remember the vows that we have made to God on your behalf. May you grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and grow to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Sincerely, Reverend C. William Roberts, Pastor. This is a great time. Amen. This is awesome. We want to pray for Isabel and the family today. Amen. All right, you want to pray? You want to pray? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your blessings, your goodness, and your mercy. We ask, God, that you just bless Isabel, Lord, and touch her. God, and I just pray that you touch her family and help them, Lord, and strengthen them. Let your will be done in their lives, God, and we want your will every day, Lord, as they serve you, as they grow in you, and bless this child. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, she's mad at them for leaving for the weekend. Aren't you? All right. If you gather up here, all the family would like to gather up here. Amen. We want our church family to come by. Amen. And pray. And thank you. Bless you. Whatever they want to do. If you'd stand up here. Thank you all for being here. Let's all stand, folks. All right, folks, amen. We thank you all for coming today and being a part of this dedication. Amen. As you leave, you don't have to come in a line, whatever. You just come on up here. Just make sure you shake all their hands, tell them you're glad they're here. Amen. And God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.